and how they took it to the Lord, and the Lord interceded on their behalf, and great things happened. God's angel came down and destroyed the army of the Gentiles that were surrounding the city, and they departed, and they were rescued. And here in chapter 38 of Isaiah, where we pick up from the end of the story, I believe this was like 15 years later or so, but it says in verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down." Sorry, the 15 years was here. It was God was going to give him 15 more years. But this happened right after the siege. And the title of the message is, "I Have Seen Thy Tears." So let's pray. Lord, I pray you to open our hearts to your word tonight. Teach us and meet with us. And Lord, that this will be a sweet time in your word tonight. So we give it to you and pray you'll be glorified through it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Hezekiah was told right after this great victory by Isaiah the prophet that he was about to die. He got sick and he had a direct word from God through the prophet, "Set your house in order because you're about to die." There in verse 1. God doesn't do that for us typically, tell us in advance when we're going to die. But he did this for Hezekiah, one of his favored kings. And I like how he responded. Oh, by the way, the Christian life is full of mountaintops and valleys. We would all agree with that. And what usually follows a mountaintop is a valley. And that's what happened here. I mean, here we have this amazing victory that we read about last week, where he just spread that letter out. He took it to God and God interceded. 165,000 were slain by God's angel. What an amazing, miraculous victory. And the very next verse, "Okay, Hezekiah, set your house in order, you're about to die." And you know, you'll find that in the Christian life, we have these mountaintop experiences, but there's going to be another valley, because that's part of the Christian life. And so he responded properly, though, to this. The Bible says, how did he respond? He turned his face toward the wall and prayed. That's how we should respond. There's going to be trials. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be attacks. There's going to be persecutions in our lives as Christians. It's guaranteed. Many of the afflictions of the righteous. What do we need to do? Take it to God. Take it to God. We talked about this Wednesday night. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Take it to the Lord. The Lord wants us to bring our burdens to him. And he will take care of us. You know, that passage in Philippians 4, most of us know it by heart. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There in Philippians 4, 6. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Hezekiah responded properly. He just went to God and prayed, which is what we should always do. But he went beyond that and says in verse 3, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept. So is it okay to cry in our prayers? Absolutely. And that's really the kind of the point of this message, is sometimes we need to just pour out our hearts and we need to just weep. The Bible has a lot to say about weeping and prayer before the Lord. But as we saw this morning, God is a prayer-answering, prayer-hearing God. Praise the Lord. O thou that hearest prayer unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalm 65:2. I am the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Psalm 81:10. God is a God that answers prayer. He says, open thy mouth wide, pray big, it's okay. God can handle it. God is the God of the impossible. But verse 5, at the end of the verse, this is kind of the heart of the message. He says, I have seen thy tears. This is God speaking to Hezekiah, and he says, I have seen thy tears. What an interesting thing to say. I've seen thy tears. And it tells me that tears mean something to God. I'm talking about tears and prayer. And if you study it through, you find out, sure enough, they do. So let's look at some scriptures. Look at Psalm 56, verse 8. And we'll look at some others as well. But what we're going to find is that God sees our tears. God keeps track of our tears. And they're important to Him. And if we are not ever coming to God in our prayer time with tears, then there's a problem with our hearts. Notice Psalm 56, 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Look what that says. That God's actually keeping track. Are they not in thy book? Now, we don't know which book this is, but what a thing to read that David says, are not my tears recorded in your book? And so God appreciates them, and God even keeps track of them. And if you go to Psalm 126, very familiar passage about witnessing to the lost, that God explains in this passage that tears are very important when it comes to our attitude about this lost and dying world. Notice Psalm 126, verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Look at verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sow in tears. Do we cry for the lost? Do we weep for the lost? That's what God says we should do. You say, well, I don't. I don't know how to fix that. Well, God tells you how to fix it in verse 6. Go. Start with the obedience, and God will give you the tears. See, Christians want it to be the other way around. God, when you give me the tears, I'll witness. God says, no, when you start witnessing, I'll give you the tears. We always want it the other way. They that go, he that goeth forth. First go, and then comes the weeping. And maybe the reason we're not shedding any tears over the lost is because we're not witnessing to the lost. But imagine what would happen if we would sow more tears. God says we'll reap in joy. There in Psalm 126, verse 5. Then another passage in Hebrews 5. If you could look there. Hebrews chapter 5, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering. And God even mentions the tears of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Hebrews chapter 5. And so they were even worth putting in Scripture. They were so important to the Lord. Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. This says that Jesus Christ, when he came to God and besought God that if it were possible, let this cup pass, if it's possible, Lord, If there's a way that I don't have to go through this, and he did it with strong crying and tears. Now, Jesus knew in advance that he had to die because of his love for man, but his humanity asked the question, is there any way we can avoid this? But then he finished it, of course, as we know, by saying, not my will, but thine be done. And he was willing to go to the cross on our behalf. But see, because he was God and knew the future, he knew the kind of suffering he was going to go through. And it was going to be, well, according to Scripture, worse than anybody's ever suffered. His face was going to be marred more than any other man. So he knew how bad it was going to be. And in his humanity, he said, Lord, if it possible, strong crying and tears. The Bible uses the word in the parable in Luke chapter 11 about prayer, that he uses the word importunity, talking about the woman who besought this ruler on behalf of someone else. And he said, if she just keeps coming, I'm just gonna give her what she wants, because she's just going to keep bothering me if I don't. And Jesus used the parable to say, don't stop. Don't stop asking. Don't stop praying. Don't stop crying. God listens to importunity when we just don't give up. But look what God did in response to the tears of Hezekiah back in our passage, Isaiah 38. Here we have God saying to Hezekiah, set thine house in order. It's time to die. So as Hezekiah kind of got a blessing, he was told in advance, it's your time. Most people don't know when their time is. Hezekiah, it's your time. He just went to God, he just prayed, and he cried. In the verse 5, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Wow. He prayed and cried, and God gave him 15 more years. It's a pretty powerful prayer. We serve a powerful God. Now, God heals in answer to prayer. Matter of fact, that's one of his names, by the way. If you look at Exodus chapter 15, back before the Ten Commandments were given, and Israel was just leaving Egypt and heading out into the desert, there was a time when there was water that was bitter, and God healed those waters for them. And I want you to see here in Exodus 15, verse 26, God speaking, he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's one of those compound names of God, which is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. God said, that's me. God is a God that heals. God is a God that answers prayer. So what should we do? The first thing when we have sickness, do what Hezekiah did. Go to God. Is it wrong to go to the doctor? I don't believe so. God gave them wisdom to help us. But start with prayer. Matter of fact, we have an example in the scriptures of someone who chose not to go to the Lord and just went straight to the physicians, and God punished him for it. But Hezekiah, it wasn't anything unique, really. He was sick. People get sick all the time. But it was definitely unique to have a prophet show up on your doorstep and say, set your house in order. It's time to die. This is a man that loved God, was trying to do the right thing. It's time to die. There's another passage in 2 Kings I'd like to turn you to, which is the parallel passage to our Isaiah passage here in 2 Kings chapter 20, one of the parallel passages. And God specifically in this passage talks about healing for Hezekiah. You know, in the other passage in Isaiah, he just said, I'll give you 15 more years. But notice what he says here in 2 Kings 20, verse 5. He said to Isaiah, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. I will heal thee. God is the God that heals. God is the great physician. But God is also the God that sees our tears and puts them in some book that we don't quite understand, but he obviously keeps track, and they mean something to God. And I believe we need to shed more tears on behalf of others before our God when those heavy requests come. So back in our passage, Isaiah chapter 38, verse 6, we see that God, sure enough, is a God that answers prayer. He says, I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. You know, the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 1 John 5:14. God hears our prayers, as we talked about this morning. God answers our prayers. And this is a big deal, what happened with the changing of the degrees. That's a pretty big sign that He gave. He's going to change the sundial 10 degrees. That's a big deal. And just showing that God's the God of creation. God is all-powerful, but saying, here's my sign that I'm going to do this for you, Hezekiah, and in 3 days you're going to be healed and go up to the house of the Lord. I'm going to change the sundial by 10 degrees. Just a pretty amazing, powerful sign. But what a beautiful truth. I have seen thy tears. David said, are they not in thy book? And maybe we're, you know, we talked about prayer this morning. God makes no mistakes. We're talking about it again tonight. Maybe we're just not shedding enough tears in our prayers. I'm not saying we need to fake them. I'm not saying we need to generate them. But if our hearts are where they need to be, in our compassion for the lost, if our hearts are broken like they should be over our own sin and our own lack of commitment that we might have in our own Christian walk, maybe the result should be a broken heart. And I'd like us to finish in Psalm 51, if we could, where David is sharing from his own experience of being chastised by God. And David learned a lot through that chastisement, Psalm 51. And he shared that with us in Psalm 51. I would say the most beautiful penitential psalm in the Scriptures, Psalm 51. But notice what he says in verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. God is looking for those broken and contrite hearts. That should be our attitude in prayer. Because we know we're not what we should be for the Lord. We're so blessed that He takes care of us anyway. But our attitude should be this attitude of brokenness before the Lord, which is going to result in tears, which God takes record of. And God appreciates and God responds to, as we see here in the life of Hezekiah. So what a blessed story and what a blessed lesson for us, where God said to Hezekiah, I have seen thy tears. I'm going to heal you and I'm going to give you 15 more years because you cried before me.